Take your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. Now, today's message, I've got a curious title. Hopefully it'll make sense in a minute or two. And the title of it is simply, Lessons from the Wind Load. Lessons from the Wind Load. Not window, wind load. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, or in heaviness through manifold testings or temptations. Let the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Look at verse 7 again with me, if you will, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you and thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you for these folks, their faithfulness. And we bring again before you the families that have been so impacted this week. We're asking you to grace them and to be with them and strengthen them. Be with Miss Kathy, continue to help her to recover. And God, watch over others that are sick today. Now, God, you know my heart. I don't want to stand before your people as a pointless, powerless preacher. I want your anointing that this will be a blessing, God. And that's the only way it can be. And I'm asking you to use this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love watching the History Channel and some of the other channels that, you know, tell you how things are made and all these different things. I like documentaries. I really do. And I know boring, but I like them. And they had one on bridges. And specifically this one bridge, it was called the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And there's a video, I don't want you to do it right now, but I do want you to Google it and look it up. And it's the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. If you ever see it, you won't forget it. And you've probably seen it if I describe this and you go, oh yeah. It's a bridge, a long bridge, and the video shows the bridge doing this. And there's a car sitting on it, and it does this for a good while, and all of a sudden it just falls into the water. And it was a brand new bridge. Here's what's interesting. When you're building a bridge, here's what I discovered. I'm going to share something with you I discovered. When building a bridge, engineers must take into account at least three loads or stresses. First of all, they include the dead load, then the live load, and then the wind load. The dead load is the weight of the bridge and all the concrete and the iron and the asphalt and everything all together. That's the dead load. Then there's the live load. That's the weight of the daily traffic expected to use the bridge. And then there's the wind load, the weight of storms that will beat on the bridge. Standing 195 feet above Puget Sound and nearly 6,000 feet long, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge opened on July 1st, 1940. 4 months and 6 days later, it lay underwater in a tangled pile of wreckage. Shortly after opening, it earned the shocking nickname Galloping Gertie, because as you drove across it, if the wind was blowing, even at low speeds, it had a tendency to start moving. Would that not freak you out?
A little bit.
Yeah. On November 7, 1940, at 11 a.m., the bridge collapsed violently. The only casualty was a poor dog who was too scared to leave the lone car stranded on the bridge. The Board of Inquiry found out the reasons for the collapse to be the following. In order to save money, reinforcement girders had only been set 8 foot deep instead of the 25 foot deep recommended. Attempts to address the bridge's tendency to sway even in moderate winds during construction were ineffective. 5 days before the collapse, a University of Washington professor proposed at least two fixes after studying a scale model of the bridge in a wind tunnel, but it was too late. The cause of the collapse was a physics principle called aeroplastic flutter, in which the bridge's frequency was matched by the 40-mile-an-hour wind that passed over and around the bridge. The bridge was not prepared to stand against even a moderate, sustained wind load. And in our lives, we must be prepared to withstand the three loads of life. The dead load of self, the live load of daily living, and the wind load of trials and testings that come our way. Because of the collapse of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, lessons were learned and engineering design was forever changed. God wants us to learn from testing before we collapse, too. As a matter of fact, when we place our trust in Christ and our bridge begins to flutter in the trials and the testing of life, He will give us strength. We need to withstand the stresses on our bridges. Just as lessons were learned from the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, trials and testing are designed by God to teach us. And so I want to share with you at least three things that come from the lessons from the wind load in our life, the trials and testings. Number one, our character is revealed in testing. Our character is revealed in testing. Just as the wind load exposed the true character of that bridge, trials reveal what is really inside our hearts. You watch people when trouble comes, and when you see their first reactions, or at least within the first 12 hours of something serious, you begin to get a picture of what they really are inside. Because you see, all of us can come to church and put on our church faces. I had a fellow this past week. I always greet the fellows there at work, and came up to me, and I said, "How you doing?" What does everybody usually say? "Fine. We're good." But he didn't say that. He looked me in the eye and he said, "Not so good." He began to share with me what was going on. And he was under a great burden. Now, I don't see that as a fault in character. I see that as a strength. Because listen to me, if you're going through it, quit telling people everything's okay. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there's times in my life when everything's not okay. And what I usually say when somebody asks me, "How you doing?" and it's like that, you know what I tell them? Partly cloudy. What is the movie? With a Chance of Meatballs or something? Partly cloudy. And I guarantee you, I'm not alone, that there's something right here that probably in the last year, in 2017, you had a lot of partly cloudies. But I want you to know that I'm tired of the devil messing with my sheep. And I sat down and I began to pray about it. And I said, "God, I don't like him messing with my sheep." And then God said, "Well, then you need to say something." And so this morning I'm going to say something. You and I were not designed within ourselves and by ourselves to handle the wind load of trials and testing. One of the things that was profound yesterday that I think, I'm not speaking for Colton and his family, but I think they were impressed with what you guys did to help them. Prepare that meal and go to nth degree to make sure they were taken care of and waiting on them at their tables and stuff like that. When you're going through it, we need other folks. We weren't designed to handle it all by ourselves. So when you're going through it, tell somebody you're going through it. Don't play word games. Don't pretend you're more spiritual than you are. When you're wore out, say you're wore out. When it's not going good, say it's not going good. Now, on the other hand, I've had some people, the last thing you ever want to ask them is, how you doing? Because it's like this. Lord, I think my gallbladder's going to burst. You see him the next time, I'm down in my bag. And I mean, it's okay to have things wrong and share them. But I know somebody, they never, nothing right happens in their lives. And I've told you many times, the Christian life is to be a life of what? And so sometimes everybody, the wind load is too much on our bridge. And we begin to do this in our lives and heart. But I'm here to tell you that when the wind blows over your bridge in your life and the bridge begins giving it this, that's when your character is really revealed. Who are you trusting? What are you made out of? What's missing in your life? It was interesting that one of the things that caused it in Tacoma was the fact that the pilings were not down deep enough. And I want to tell you this, that many folks that get blown away by trouble, their problem is their piling is not deep enough. It's not down deep enough and on the rock. God wants us to be based on the rock of Jesus Christ. And if you're just down a few feet in the mud when trouble comes and you're not on the rock who is Christ, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your bridge. It's going to collapse. It's amazing to me when I look at people and some of the things they go through in the course of a week, Kathy. I look at several dozen diagnoses of people, and they're not old. Leukemia. All kinds of weird things I've never heard about. I got to go Google. I've been in the medical field for years. And I'm thinking, shaking my head. And then I look down at the age and they're 7 years old. And you think you've had a rough day. I'm here to tell you, all around us, people are hurting. And let's be honest, we're hurting sometimes, amen? And it's okay to admit it. But let's pray for one another. The sun is shining in your life. Why don't you help those of us that are having a partly cloudy day by praying for us? I'm here to tell you it makes a difference. But it reveals our character when the winds begin to blow. And listen, and it reveals who we are. God already knows what's there, but sometimes He allows the trials because there are things that we need to see. Because sometimes, I'll be honest, as a preacher, I think I got it all together. And then the wind blows and it reveals some weakness in me, some area that I need help with, that I need to focus on, and that I need to change. And so what God does sometimes, He allows the wind to blow over our bridges and knock things out of norm in order to get us to look at ourselves. The Scripture says this, let us examine ourselves as to whether or not we're in the faith. It's okay to examine ourselves spiritually. Certainly, there's no doubt that self-examination has saved many women from breast cancer. There's nothing wrong in the world with you being focused on yourself for a minute to say, God, how are things between me and you? Now, I would make this recommendation. First of all, make sure that your pilings are on the rock. Make sure that your life is based on faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure there's nothing between your soul and the Savior. Make sure things are solid. Then when the wind blows and the bridge may move a little bit, it's not going to collapse because you know who's holding you up. Jesus said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Leah, when you get down into Guatemala and you mean in business about this, I'm going to tell you something, sis, and I want you to hear me. You're going to come up against stuff that you don't know what to do and that you can't handle, but I'll tell you who can. Jesus Christ can. And when it comes, you look back at this and you think on it, But Leah, and I'm not doubting that they aren't already, but I want you to make sure that your pilings are on the rock. Whenever we're called to help other people, we need to make sure that we are where we need to be. We need to make sure that we're on the rock and have no doubt about it. The Bible said these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life and that this life is in His Son. The psalmist David said, He took me out of a horrible pit and He set my feet upon the rock. Know that you're grounded on the rock. You see, once revealed, we need to ask God's help when we find a place in us that's weak or something that needs fixing. We need God's help to change and to deal with our weaknesses. There was a man who was stranded on a deserted island and he had been shipwrecked and he was the only survivor. He gathered enough stuff to be fairly comfortable from the shipwreck. He had a nice shack that he had built and he was fairly comfortable. He had gone up on a high hill and he had made a signal so if anybody passing by could see it. And one day he was out foraging food and he looked back and he saw smoke. He had a cooking fire earlier that morning, but he thought he had put it down enough. And what had happened, a gust of wind came up and caught some coals and blew it onto his little shack and burned up everything he had. He sat there with his head in his hands crying. He said, "Oh God, why? See, everything I got, God, I'm here by myself, God, and it's all gone." Several hours later, he heard the long blow of a mariner's horn, and he looked out and he could see a ship coming. And they came and picked him up, and here's what they said, "Bud." He said, "How did you know to find me?" He said, "We saw your signal fire." Sometimes when you go through something, it's so God can do something. So character is revealed during the times of the wind load in our lives. Secondly, our character is reinforced by the wind load. Knowing our own weakness is a source of securing real help from God. We need to know that. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, and he said unto me, speaking of Christ, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Listen, when God sends us tribulation, I love this. This was a little black preacher, country preacher. I love what he said. Listen to what he said. When God sends us tribulation, He expects us to tribulate. I love it. To go through it. Yeah, it's not comfortable. No, it's not pleasant. And I look around this room and I see several of you who have been through troublesome times in the years since I've come here and preached for you and been your pastor. I know it's hard to believe because I'm so young, but you understand that's been since 2012. First time I preached was December of 2012. How long is that? It's a long time to hang around with you rascals. You know what's more impressive? You keep me. Thank you for that, Ronald. That was deep. But I'm here to tell you that in that time, what I've seen, and I want you to hear me. I don't look over you this morning and see a bunch of folks whose bridges have collapsed. But I'm here to remind you that I've looked over you and I've seen folks whose bridges have held. But if you're not sure, make sure. If you don't think you're where you ought to be, get where you ought to be with God. Because I'm telling you, the wind's going to blow again. That's life. We're either going into trouble, we're in trouble, or we're coming out of trouble. Life is full of trouble, the Bible says. Paul said, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And then when it happens, we're shocked. Keep your bridges built strong and with all the girders down on the rock. So our character is revealed by testing. Our character is reinforced by testing. And finally, our character is refined by testing. I love Job. If it's been a while since you've read Job, you ought to read it again, especially if you're going through any, if you want to make sure that you know how to tribulate, read the book of Job. The dude was minding his own business, living for God. And hell on earth broke out in his life. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. Everything that could be bad went bad. First, everything he owned was wiped out. His children were wiped out. Then his health was wiped out. And if you think Job sat around with a halo and said, "Thank you, Jesus," it didn't happen. As a matter of fact, he said out loud, "I curse the day a man-child was born to my mama." You know what that means? I wished I'd never been born. So don't think Job had it all together. As a matter of fact, at the end of the book, Job throughout is asking God, why? And I said it to Peter, there's nothing wrong with asking God that, but you read the whole thing and God never answers it. You know how God answers Job when he keeps asking why? He said, "Job, do you know how I make rain and snow?" And Job's like, "No." "Do you know how I operate?" "No." "Do you know how I make the great big sea creatures move through the water and all that?" And Job, of course, is, "No." And that's where God leaves it. God can handle it. Did you hear me? I want you to say with me, I'm going to say it, then I want you to say it. God can handle it. Say it.
God can handle it.
And mean it. Let's say it together. God can handle it. So Job, what was going on really, and Job didn't know it, there was a spiritual battle going on in which Satan had presented himself to God and said, God said to him, and this I always found curious. Remember, Job's minding his own business. He's worshiping God. And it was God that pointed Job out to the devil. He said, "Where have you been, Satan?" "Well, I've been walking back and forth, to and fro, in all the earth." In the New Testament, we find the rest of the story. It says he's as a roaring lion walking about whom he can devour. So Satan was going back and forth, seeing who he could tear up. And listen to what God said. "Have you considered my servant Job?" Did you get that? Brenda got it. Did you get it? This guy was living for God, and it's almost as though God sicked the devil on him. That's what it looks like on the surface, but that's not what was going on here. Because you understand that when the wind load comes, your character is revealed, and God knew who he had in Job. He knew what Job was made out of. And when you come to the point, and I guarantee you, there's somebody right here, if I say this, you'll say that's you. You've been to the place where you said, "If one more thing happens." You ever been there? Guess what? You're still here. Which means most likely, one more thing didn't happen. The Bible says he knows. He knows how much you can take. He knows what the wind load is of your bridge. He knows what you can stand. He knows how deep your girders go down and what rock they're based on. He knows. And he won't allow you to be tested above that which you're able to bear. But he will make a way of escape. Now it's interesting as you look down in this passage. I love verse 7, and I want you to look at it again with me, that the trial of your faith. I love the way Peter says this. He doesn't say, "If you ever have a trial of faith." No, he says that the trial of your faith, it's a definite thing. It's going to happen. And look what he says about that trial of faith. "Being much more precious than gold that perishes." Who do you think it's precious to? So here's Job, minding his own business. The Bible says at the beginning of Job that he gave offerings every day for his children in case they had sinned. He was a man of prayer, a man of sacrifice, a man of offerings. He was a man that loved God. And all he can see is, "I'm living for God. Now my world is gone." He doesn't see what's going on, that the devil's behind it. But I want you to understand who rules over it. When the devil came and said, "Okay, you let me at Job. God, he'll curse you to your face. You let me at him." And God says, "You can go ahead and touch everything he has, but you can't touch him. Then he does, and Job doesn't curse God. Even his wife gets in on the act. Sorry, woman. She was. She's a sorry dog. Listen, you know what she said? Job, why don't you just curse God and die? That was his wifely support. I don't know if she wanted the insurance money or what, Ronald, but she just said, go ahead and die. Well, that's supportive, isn't it? But let me let her off the hook a little bit. Most of us men are giant babies. Say amen, ladies.
Amen.
I told y'all, if I'd have had done what she had done from hip to hip, I'd have been in the corner, in the fetal position, sucking my thumb and saying, Mommy. She's like, well, I moved the refrigerator today. Kind of soon, you're not supposed to live. Yeah, I know. Men are babies. I don't think we have the full dialogue of what must have been coming out of Job's mouth. I don't think he was cussing or cursing God because he didn't do it. But here's what I believe you heard. I wished I'd never been born. Everything's bad. Everything's going wrong. But in the middle of it, at the end of the story, God pronounces and teaches him to be an example of faith for us. Did you know right now you're an example of faith for somebody? You say it. Me? Yeah, you. Don't look at the beginning of the story. Look at the end of the story. So after all this, the Bible tells us that Job got double of everything he had from God. You say, now wait a minute. If you count the kids, he didn't get more kids. He got the same amount. Well, no. We know where his kids went. He got double them too. And so you've got to look at the end of the story. So whatever you're going through right now, don't focus on that. It's not the end of the story. When the end of the story comes, then you can have it compiled and have God give the determination. And it was interesting, when he did kind of seem like to us he sicked the devil on Job, I love what God, how he worded it. He said, have you considered my servant, Job? He didn't say, have you considered this Gomer Job down here? No, he said, my servant. Does God know you're his servant? Is there any doubt? There shouldn't be. Make sure that you know that you know. I've said that so many times over the last 5 years. And if God gives me breath, I'll say it 5 more years. And then 5 more years. And then when I'm in a nursing home, I'll say it again. Listen to me. God wants you to know that you are on the solid rock. Because you see, our character is reinforced by testing. And it's refined by testing. It's interesting that the word character in Greek is related to the word stylus that was a writing instrument. And so when it talks about God building our character, it's as though God wants to inscribe himself into the building of our character, and sometimes trial and testing are working as his pen. Let him do it. You know what Job did? He didn't curse God. Here's what he said. I said it yesterday at the graveside. I don't know if the family heard it or not. But as they took that precious little body in that little box and set it down in the ground, and the family took a shovel full of dirt and put it on that little casket, here's what I said. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know where that came from? Job. Job. He does all things good, Ron. All things. Even when we don't make sense out of it, even when we don't understand. How could he let a pillar of the church like Miss Ella get so sick? He doeth all things well. And I'm here to tell you this, we ain't home yet, folks. There was a missionary who spent his entire life until his health was broken, his finances were ruined, he had nothing left. And he was coming back to the States. And as the ship pulled up, there was a band on the side. And the band, as they put the gangplank down, they began to strike up a lively tune. And big welcome home signs rolled out. And he started smiling. And he started down the gangplank, and somebody pushed by him. And it was some celebrity, and everybody began to cheer. And as soon as they got down to the bottom, they all surrounded them, and the band stopped playing and moved away. And soon he found himself sitting on his suitcase all by himself, and nobody came to see him after all these years of service. And he sat there, and he began to weep. And God spoke to his heart, Amanda, and said, "You ain't home yet." We get home. Applause of heaven. Be found faithful. There are things in life that hinder us that we can't help. Sometimes we've got to work. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we just physically can't do it or financially can't do what we want to do. God understands all that. Do what you can do. Be as faithful as you can. Stand solid as you can. I found this fascinating. We often don't understand the why of trials and testing. You ever seem to be in the dark like Job? I know I have. Just in the dark. This was interesting. There was a Christian man who was on a tour in Brussels, Belgium. And one of the stops, which he thought would be so boring, you ladies probably love it. Belgium is known for its intricate lace. I mean prize-winning, intricate lace that's used on gowns and everything you can think of, wedding dresses. They hand-make this stuff. It's gorgeous. So he was on a tour of one of these shops because that's where the tour took him. And he went in there, and his life hadn't been the best. He didn't understand a lot of things, but listen to this. In this shop, a tour director led the group into one of several rooms dedicated to the making of the finest, most intricate, and delicate lace patterns. There was only one small window casting light onto the work table itself. It was the only light to be used, and it fell directly on the pattern for the lace. There is only one spinner of the lace, and he sits where the narrow light streams through the window, and the threads are being weaved, he said. Thus, the tour guide said, we do secure our finest products. Listen to this. Lace is always more delicately and beautifully made when the worker himself is in the dark and only the pattern is in the light. Let it sink in. Ever been in the dark? I wonder what God's doing. He's making a beautiful, beautiful pattern. Trust Him. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to stand with me. Been a lot going on this week. And I am so, so blessed to be your pastor. And to know that you have been praying and working and helping and lifting people up. But before we leave here today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to see that we lift one another up. And I'm just simply going to ask, is there anybody here that's been under the wind load lately in their lives? And they've sensed it in their lives that it's been kind of heavy on you. What I want you to do is simple faith. I want you to raise your right hand and say, God, I'm going to trust you. You've been going through it. Would you raise your right hand and just say, God, I'm going to trust you. Leave it up. God, I'm going to trust you. All over the house. And with your hand up, your head bowed, I want you to listen to this. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when He yearns with all His heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, watch His methods, watch His ways. How He ruthlessly perfects whom He royally elects. How He hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes a day, which only God understands. while his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands. How he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses and which every purpose fuses him. By every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. Father, we pray. As we come before you, we pray first of all for those families that have, and individuals that have had a rough time, Lord, this last week. God, that you would pour grace and mercy over them. I pray that you would kick over a warm bucket of honey in their soul and that they would know that you're near. Then I pray for each other, Father, each of us with our hands up, God, saying that we've been under a wind load, God, and maybe even for a long time, not just a week, not just a day. God, I pray that you would be with each one that has a hand raised, that you would take their hand and do as you said in Isaiah 41, I will hold your right hand and I will fight for you. God, I'm asking you that you would move in amongst our congregation. That God, you would use us in a mighty way. And that God, you would strengthen and bless us for your glory. Forgive us our shortcomings, our sins, and where we failed while under stress. And God, not handled it in a way that pleased you. Forgive us. But God, we're raising our hands this morning to tell you we trust you. That you'll take them and you'll help us. Be with those that are hurting today. God, help us to make a difference in our lives. If you need to come and kneel and seal that prayer before God today, I want to give you opportunity to do that, to pull your hand down and to come and simply kneel up front and say, oh God, I'm so grateful you've got my hand. As others come, if you need to come, why don't you come as we end this service today on our knees before God and ask God to help us. And help those we love and know that are going through storms as well. It's your time. If you need to come, come on. Before we're dismissed, I want to read that passage with you with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold testings, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I wonder today if all hearts and minds are clear before we leave. Does anyone have a word of testimony before we go? Mind the Lord. God is good all the time, folks.
I'd like for us to all have prayer for the Smith family. They found the 44-year-old son dead in bed.
It's Tim Smith's brother, isn't it?
We don't know when her last minute's out.
Anyone else? As we dismiss in prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Dwight, if you will, to dismiss us in prayer. Remember to pray for one another this week.
Thank you, Lord, for this day, for each and every one that's here. Thank you for watching over through this past week and for all your blessings to the church and the church family. We ask, Lord, that you would be with each and every one that met sick, get your touch of healing. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we go a separate way. Guide and direct.